1 Peter chapter number 3 this morning. And over the next, starting today, there's 5 Sundays in the month of April. Amen. And we're going to take, and we said we was going to begin a series talking about, does anybody remember the title we've been given this?
Answers in April.
Amen. Answers in April. Seeking to answer the questions and dealing with some questions that a lot of times, as believers, we get asked. Amen. And we're going to seek to answer with the Lord's help some of these hard questions, common questions that a lot of times you and I get asked. Amen. And that we face, if you will. A lot of times people ask these questions when they find out you're saved, find out you go to church, when you go to witness to them, or in different situations you face in your life. The questions that you get asked, those common types of questions, is what we're going to be dealing with. One question each Sunday morning for the month of April. And we're going to stretch some of these probably and into Sunday night. And Lord willing, we're going to do that tonight with this one. With this topic, we're going to kind of stretch it and ask another question, but on the same main topic, and deal with kind of a couple of questions about this subject, if you will, between this morning and tonight. And because this morning trying to get it all in would have been not able to do much justice to answering the question. Amen. And so, as we deal with these things, we said that our theme verse for them is found here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, of why we are doing this. Why are we doing this on Sunday mornings? It's not just to take and just cause the pastor's got to have something to preach on, although that is true, but that's not what it is at all. The Lord's led us to do this for a very important reason. And I believe, based off this scripture, which we'll read here in just a second, that the reason why we're doing this is really twofold. The main reason, number one, is to, I believe, equip the saints. Amen. That the Lord might use these things that we're looking at, that the Lord might equip us and help us to be ready to give answers, amen, to give a defense, to give an answer to these questions that you and I face a lot of times. That we might know an answer, be ready to give an answer. You might know the answer already to these questions we're going to look at. You may say, well, I know the answer to that. Well, don't dismiss everything we're going to talk about. Hopefully the Lord will give you some more thoughts, amen, some new things to go along with all the answers that you normally would give for these things to help even better to answer those questions. Amen. To equip us to be a better witness for the Lord. But also, my prayer is, along with that, that as we take and go through these things, you can maybe take and encourage some of those who've asked you these questions. Maybe even by the providential hand of God, that somebody might have taken this past week or in the weeks to come of this month, might ask you one of these questions. And maybe the Lord might could take, and then you could say to them, well, the pastor's preaching Sunday on that exact question that you just asked me. Why don't you come to church this Sunday? That's my prayer. That the Lord would do that, and then maybe that person come to church, the Lord would use us, amen, His Word, you and us, me together, and through God's Word, they might get the answer to some of these questions, and who knows, the Lord might save them, amen? That's my prayer, that we might see a soul saved, possibly, or somebody helped in the Lord through this month, amen, and that His glory might be given, amen, that He might get the glory through all of this. And so that's kind of in a nutshell why we're doing this, if you will. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15, our theme verse for this month, if you will, while we're doing this, based off Scripture, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, we're not going to go back. We preached that verse last Sunday night, and we talked about it and just went through the verse pretty much almost word by word and talked about this verse in general. And we said that here we see that it's important for us as believers to be ready always to give an answer. Amen. We ought to always be ready to give an answer to those that come and that ask us a question, even if we can't take and nail down, if you will, the exact place in the Bible to a point. I've been in that case many times. Even if we can't take and we don't know exactly, if you will, how to answer their question, we can kind of help to guide, if you will, in the right direction. There's been many times I had somebody here recently ask me a question about something, and I was very unfamiliar with the topic they were asking about and the wording they were mentioning, and I gave them an answer, and thank the Lord it was the right answer. And I didn't realize how right it was in the simple answer I gave, but I wasn't able to go into great detail, but I could give the answer. Thank the Lord, amen, that He helped me with that. And we know the Holy Spirit has to help us in those times. But here we see that we're to be able to give an answer, amen. And part of this is, as another verse of Scripture says, we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's a part of what we're doing as well with the Lord's help. I asked last week for y'all's help, amen. Well, actually 2 weeks ago, for y'all's help to give me some questions, amen, that you've been asked. I did some things on my own, some questions I've been asked. I asked y'all to give me some questions that maybe you have about the Bible, or common questions you have been asked about the Bible, and that I would take those, look at them, pray over them from everything everybody had, and we would go from there as the Lord directed us. And last Sunday night, some of you had given me those, and then some of you gave me some more, amen, during the service, and thank the Lord for all those. And so, the first one today, the first question that we're seeking to answer with the Lord's help is this question, and you have it right there in front of you this morning, so you already know what it is this question: is hell a real place? Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever been asked this question, maybe not exactly, but in some form, some fashion, this question before by somebody? Raise your hand. Is hell a real place? Most of us have. And if you haven't, be ready. Your turn's coming soon. Amen. Is hell a real place? There are so many today that do not believe that hell is a real, literal place. Amen. They believe hell is an abstract idea, if you will. They believe hell is a state of mind, possibly. They believe hell is here on earth. There's a lot of people that believe that, right? And of course, we're not going to be able to get into every little detail the Bible says about hell in 20 minutes this morning. Oh, amen? 25. But we're going to get as close as we can to getting it all in. Amen? But you think about simply hell, is hell a real place? And when you're taking, this morning when we're seeking to answer this question, we need to go to God's Word and see what He says. Amen. I found it amazing there's many people who used to believe that hell is a real place, and now they don't believe it's a real place anymore. There's a lot of people who believe that hell, okay, well, they used to say it is a real place, and they would say there's certain things in hell. I don't want to give away the message, but there's certain things in hell. They used to preach that, teach that, believe that, and now they say, well, it's a place, but this and this is not really there literally anymore. And they've changed over time. Now, God's Word doesn't change, right? Amen. Now, if you believe something wrong to begin with and you need to correct what you believe and you was wrong in the beginning, then we've all been there too, right? And so, praise the Lord, amen, that He showed you the truth. But of course, a lot of times, we know a lot of times that's just compromise, right? And so we have to be careful about that in our lives. But is hell a real place? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we go any further into seeking the answer. Dear Father, we thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, for allowing us to serve You with our lives. Thank You, dear Lord, for our dear brother who come this morning and who is going to do what You'd have him to do, dear Lord, in the Philippines, to share in the gospel. Bless him, his wife, his child, dear Lord, his child that's on the way. Bless them, strengthen them, give them the funds they need. Just help them, dear Lord, I pray. Dear Lord, I pray this morning as we take and look in Your Word, dear Lord, to what You've led us to do this month. Answers in April. To seek, dear Lord, answers to these questions that are often asked, that maybe even some in this building might possibly have pondered and be pondering in their hearts. I pray that You would help us to look at this question with clarity this morning. That your Holy Spirit and power would show us what the answer is, clearly and convictingly, so that we might leave this place with a clear answer in our hearts, and that we might be able to give a clear answer to others, so that you might get the honor and glory, and so that the lost might come to know you, and that our hearts might be stirred to share the gospel because of this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The word hell is used 54 times in the Bible. Amen. And I guess I should clarify, I shouldn't have to, but the word hell is used 54 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. Which is the right one, but we'll go on. It's used 54 different times in the Bible, the word hell is. Matter of fact, I have been told I did not sit down and count them. Okay, so if I'm wrong, I'm telling you that what I have been told is wrong. Okay, that Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. Amen. The one thing I find interesting about this subject is I've never had, I do not believe, anybody ask me, is heaven a real place? But I've had people many times ask, is hell a real place? That right there, you just think about that and ponder over that. That's real interesting why people struggle with, is hell a real place, but is heaven a real place? Not as much trouble. You think about simply this morning about hell and seeking to answer the question, is hell a real place? We're going to go to God's Word, and you've got a lot of scriptures there on your sheets in front of you. A lot. This morning, I want you to try to turn as we go along. If you cannot turn and cannot keep up, that is fine. Okay? You have the verses in front of you. I'm going to move quickly this morning. Y'all know we usually don't move this quickly through these verses, but we're going to try to get it done this morning. Amen? And let the verses speak for themselves in answering this question. A lot more Scripture than normal, although we always try to use a lot of Scripture. But I think it's even that much more important to see what thus saith the Lord on this question. Amen? Not what thus saith Gerald. And you think about here, the Bible said, here we see that we need to be ready to give an answer. So you think, is hell a real place? Well, to answer that question, we need to look into the Bible, and we need to see what the Bible says about hell. About hell. And that's what we're going to look at this morning and seek an answer, is this a real place? See what the Bible says about hell when it uses that word some of those 54 times in the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, this morning in the Old and New Testament we're going to be looking today. Turn to Job chapter number 11. Job chapter number 11. And like I said, if I get there and I start reading for you, you can just look down at your sheet, however the Lord leads you this morning. But Job chapter number 11, you might get there before I do. But Job chapter number 11 and verse number 6, we're going to start reading. It says, Job 11, 6, and that He would show the secrets of wisdom, talking about God, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Boy, there's a good question. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Verse 8, which is what's on your sheet, it is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? May I say this morning, first off, the first thing we know from Scripture clearly about hell is that hell is down. Amen? Hell is down. And that's something the world don't have a problem with for the most part, right? Anybody, you watch TV even, you watch anything out there, and when heaven's mentioned, everybody always says, well, heaven is up. Hell is down. I think about even, that's kind of a universal, almost, I don't know, I ain't been in the Philippines, but in America, that's a universal thought process. Amen? Heaven is up. Hell is down. That's just kind of a universal thing. I remember at one point when my grandfather was, before he passed, and I was worried about his salvation, and he couldn't talk, couldn't speak hardly, couldn't use words very much. I went into his room one night. I was worried about his salvation. I asked him if he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he took and he pointed up like this. I said, if something happened to you when you die, Paul, I want to know you'll go to heaven. Will you go to heaven? He said, heaven, heaven. Heaven. Amen. Amen. And he pointed up. Amen. And I think about that, how we all know heaven is up, right? Hell is down. Why do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Amen? You think there's no debate about that really at all, but that's a fact that we need to establish from Scripture about hell, is that hell is down. The Bible said, as high up heaven, right? As high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? So here we see that hell is down. Psalms chapter number 55, we see another verse, if you will, of Scripture that just kind of hammers home even further this truth, this point about hell, that it is down. Psalms 55, and there's a lot of verses that say this, y'all. These are just a few. Psalms 55 and verse number 15. The Bible says, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Notice here it said in the middle of the verse, and let them go down into hell. Notice here, second thing, along with this, we see another verse that clearly points that hell is where? Down. Amen. Ain't that what it said? Go down. Go down quick into hell. Proverbs chapter number 15, another verse of Scripture that emphasizes this point, that clearly shows us this. Proverbs 15:24, the Bible says, and this is an interesting verse of Scripture if you really think about it. It says, the way of life is above to the wise. Now stop right there just for a second. What's above, we said? Heaven. Who's the one that is the way, the truth, and the life? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one that is the way, the truth, and the life. As seeing this verse, it just really struck me, because the Bible says the way of life is above heaven. Amen. The way of life in heaven, think about that, is above to the wise. But notice the rest of the verse, that he may depart from hell where? Beneath. Amen. And so you think about, the Bible talks about the wise man, Jesus said, built his house upon a rock. The floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it didn't fall, right? But the foolish man built his house upon the sand, right? The winds came, blew, knocked it down, right? And great was the fall of it. Why do I bring that up? Simply to make this point, notice the verse, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Amen. So you think about simply this point, this truth again, that hell is down. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 and verse number 15. We see another verse of Scripture that clearly illustrates this. Isaiah 14, 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Here we see again that hell is where, y'all? Down. Amen. No doubt. Anybody got a doubt about hell being down this morning? Hell is down. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And we can go on and on and on and on this morning, hammering home this point. This verse brings out another truth, if you will, that's not one of our main points, but we'll mention it real quickly, is hell's down, but also an aspect of hell is hell, it said, notice the rest of the verse, shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the what? Pit. Hell's a pit. Now, I could stop right here and end the message, really, but is a pit a real place? To the sides of the pit. So we see that hell is down, but hell's also a pit. And you think about a pit is a, for lack of a better way of putting it in my language, a hole. Right, Brother Gary? You with me? He said it before I did. It's a hole. Amen? And if we took and we studied the Bible, you'd find this out as well. And this is not a part of the message this morning. I didn't want to add too much in here. But how hell is a pit, but it's a bottomless pit. Amen? Of how hell is a bottomless pit. In other words, hell is a place, hell is down, hell is bottomless, how it's a pit, if you will, and how it's bottomless, and the people in hell, it just keeps, and the Bible tells us this, falling, falling, falling forever and ever and ever and ever. You think about hell is a pit. And so down. It's a pit and it is down. Notice with me 2 Peter chapter number 2. You say those all Old Testament verses you've been given, Pastor. Well, the Old Testament's important too, but just for those that might say that. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." Notice the language very closely. "But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Here we see again another verse that tells us hell is where? Down. Hell is down. And matter of fact, the Bible says those angels that sinned, God didn't spare them. Where did He take and put them? Down in hell. That's what the Bible says. You just read it. Amen. Down in hell. You think about, "For God spared not those angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Threw them down in this pit of hell. It says, "And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So we see first off clearly this morning in seeking to answer, is hell a real place? Well, we know that hell is without a fact what? Down. Amen? We know that without a fact. Is it a real place? Well, it's down. We know that. That's what the Bible says. All these verses and more we could look at. But this verse you just read, not only does it tell us that hell's down, but it runs us right into our second point this morning. Not only is hell down, but secondly this morning, let's read that verse again. It said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of what? Darkness to be reserved unto judgment." In other words, hell's all down, but hell is also dark. Amen? Hell is dark. The Bible is clear about this, and we're getting ready to look at a lot of verses again here in just a minute to prove this point that hell is down, hell is dark. Amen? You think about hell is so dark. You study it out in Scripture. There is no light in hell. And as I thought about hell, I couldn't help but think about the contrast, if you will, the opposite of hell, which would be what? Heaven. Amen? Light. You getting there? You with me? You think about in heaven, the Bible tells us there's no need of the sun there because He's light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's no need of a sun because He's there. He's the light that shines. And you think about in hell, the Bible says, you think about it's outer darkness forever. It's so dark that you put your hand up in front of your face from the way the Bible describes it and you can't even see it. I remember, I think it was last year, year before, and we've done this many times, but this is the most recent. Kelly took me, and we went off for a night together, had somebody wash the boys, and I think it was Linville we went to. Some caverns, anyway. I think it was Linville, I believe. And we went up there, and we went through the caverns. And all y'all probably been through caves at some point or another in your life, those types of things. And at one point, we was under there, and they do this at most of them. They took and they cut out the lights, right? And it is pitch dark. And they did that, and some of the people got scared, and I think Kelly did. I don't know. I might have. Who knows? But it was dark, right? And they had a stream running through there, and there was trout in that stream. And they gave the story of how it's so dark down there and them trout being there all the time that the trout become blind because of the darkness. And I thought about, here is hell, is a place. Hell is down, but hell is also dark. This type of darkness, that type of darkness in those caves that we've all been in. You think about this morning, this is the place that these angels that sinned against God, that fell with Satan, amen, that's what it's referring to. Here's the place they are. So we see that this is a place of darkness. But Matthew chapter number 22, if you want to turn there real quickly, Matthew 22 and verse number 13. Matthew 22 and verse number 13 tells us the same point again, and there's lots of verses. But Matthew 22:13 tells us, "Then said the words of Jesus here, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into what? Outer darkness." I'm going to read that again. "And cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we see again that hell is a place that's down, but hell is also a place that is what? Dark. Dark. There's outer darkness, the Bible says. That's describing how dark it is. Amen? Complete darkness. There's outer darkness. And the Bible said in this place, and this is not a point this morning, but we'll throw it in as we're going along, not only is hell down and hell's dark, but also there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. In other words, you think about weeping, crying, right? Sobbing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Why gnashing of teeth? Well, we'll get into it a little bit more in a few minutes. But because of pain that's there. There's gnashing of teeth, grinding of teeth because of the pain. You think about this morning simply, hell is down, hell is dark. But thirdly, we see Psalms chapter number 9. Is hell a real place? Well, it's down and it's dark. We know that without a doubt. How many of you agree this morning it's clear? The Bible tells us it's down and it's dark. Amen? It's down, it's dark. Psalms chapter number 9. Psalms chapter number 9 and verse number 17. Really good verse. Sad verse, but good verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The third thing we see here this morning is not only hell down and dark, but hell is also a place where the desperately wicked are found. The desperately wicked are found in hell. You think about the Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. Notice those words. The wicked is a hell is a place where the wicked are. Amen. Hell is a place where the wicked are. We already seen those angels that took and sinned against God. That's where they are, right? Hell is a place where all the wicked are, if you will, let me say it this way for us this morning, the lost. Amen. All those that do not get saved, all those that reject the message of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and don't come to Him in repentance, admitting they're a sinner, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Him and what He did on Calvary and rising again the third day, even as our brother shared. Amen. For a few minutes this morning. Believing in Him, asking them to save them, the lost, the wicked, they'll be turned into hell. And it says, in all nations that forget God. We talk about the church a lot of times and we say the church is not brick and mortar. But the church is what? People. Amen? People. May I say, what is a nation made up of as well? People. And all those nations that forget God, what are they full of? People. Amen? And all those people that forget God, that don't come to God, this place of hell, the desperately wicked, this is the place they go. And we can start naming off names of the desperately wicked we've seen down through our history, couldn't we? Hitler and so on and so forth. And you think about some of these that's there in hell, the desperately wicked. And so we see hell is a place that's down, it's dark, and hell is also has the desperately wicked there, if you will. Now notice with me Isaiah chapter number 5, and we'll see a fourth fact about hell. And there's other verses that tell us that's where the wicked are too, but we're just kind of going through these this morning, just giving you a few here and there to prove the points. Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Isaiah 5:14, the Bible clearly says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humble." And we could read on. But simply for our point this morning in seeking to answer, is hell a real place? Another fact about hell is that hell is developing bigger. Amen. Hell is developing bigger. Or as the words, I tried to keep with the D's this morning, y'all, okay? Hell's developing bigger, but as we see here, simply, that hell is doing what? It's enlarging itself. Amen? It's developing every day bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know about you, but just putting two and two together, why is hell getting bigger? There's only one answer I can come up with. Because there's more people going there. Now, I can't necessarily take for Scripture and show you hell's getting bigger because there's more people going. I can't show you a verse that says that. But I believe that's clearly the only reason I can think of why hell would need to get bigger every day is because there's more and more people every day dying without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to this place. I can't help but think about just here lately all the people that you and I have known. And thank the Lord most of them have been saved. Amen. Going to heaven. But I can't help but think about all the people that we know here lately who've left this life. I can't imagine in a place like Brother John Mark shared a while ago.
Millions.
Think of how many people die every day. I don't know what the statistic is. Hell's enlarging itself. That right there ought to be something that ought to stir us, amen, as believers, to seek to share the gospel even more. Because we don't want people to go to hell, amen. Even my worst enemy, I don't know who that'd be at this point, but even my worst enemy, I don't want them to die and go to hell, amen. I want everybody to be saved, amen. And the Lord, of course, we know desires for He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, the Bible says. And you think about simply this morning, hell is developing bigger. It's enlarging itself. And the Bible said in Isaiah 5:14 this truth, but it said at the end of the verse, and notice that I can't help but point this out again, at the end of Isaiah 5:14, the last couple of words, shall descend into it. We'll keep on going. We're seeking to answer the question, is hell a real place? We see first off that hell's down. We see hell's dark. We see hell's a place of the desperately wicked. And we also see that hell is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. But lastly, one more fact about hell, if you will, from Scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew 5, and notice with me, verse number 22. Matthew 5 and verse number 22. Hear Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. What He said. Matthew 5, 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of what? Hell fire. The last fact, if you will, about hell that's clear from Scripture, maybe not from others around us, but we shouldn't go by what other people say. Because even as me and Brother Gary was talking about a totally different subject this morning, everybody's got their own opinions and ideas about things. And y'all know the old saying about opinions, right? They're kind of like armpits. Everybody's got two of them, and they usually stink. So we don't care about people's opinions, amen, although we do, but you know what I mean. That really don't hold water. Let's put it that way, right? What holds water is what does God say, amen? Because He's omniscient, He knows everything, right? So that's what matters. Our opinions don't matter. But here we see the Bible in Matthew 5:22 said this, shall be in danger of hell fire. So we see lastly this morning that hell is a place that is dominated by fire. Hell is a place that's dominated by fire. In other words, hell is a place that has fire all in it. Amen. Hell is a place, it's a matter of fact, a lake of fire. It is a place that has total fire. You think about a pit, it's dark, but it's also a place, it's down, but hell also a place where all the wicked is, but hell also has fire there. Many today have wavered on this truth. Many today have tried to say, well, it's not literal fire. It's talking about hard times. It's talking about hard things. It's talking about because God's not there, there's torment there. Because we could read another place where the Bible says with the rich man and Lazarus that he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And it talks about the fire. The weeping and gnashing of teeth we read about a while ago. You think simply this morning, hell is definitely has fire there. And you'll see that as we go along through these Scriptures. Matthew chapter number 18, turn over a little bit more. Jesus is the one, by the way, that said that in Matthew 5:22. So if you don't think hell has fire, you have to deal with Jesus. What He said, not with me. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 9. I'm just telling you what He said. Matthew Actually, let's read verse 8 too while we're here. 18:8. Wherefore, if thine hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. So here we see again another time that Jesus Himself said, in hell there is fire. Amen. There is a dominating fire in this place of hell, a consuming fire in this place of hell, a literal fire, if you will. Just as the rich man said in the testimony we have in Scripture about being in torments and about the flame there. But if those verses don't show it clearly enough, let's turn to one more. And there's probably no more convincing verse of Scripture, I don't think, in my own opinion, than Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. If anybody ever asks this question about hell, is hell a real place? And then they say, well, is there fire in hell specifically? This is the verse of Scripture that would probably, in my own 2-cent opinion, would be the best place to go to. Mark 9, verse number 43. Although the rich man Lazarus is a good place too. Mark 9 and verse number 43. Here it is again. And if similar to what we just read, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Is that enough verses? Mm-hmm. Let's read one more anyway. 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Is that enough verses? Mm-hmm. Well, let's read one more anyway. For everyone shall be salted with what? Fire. I think it's good enough to get the point this morning. Simply this, we see clearly, again in red in your Bible, if you have a red letter Bible, that hell is a place that is dominated by fire. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ believed. It may not be what some of the popular modern day well-known preachers believe nowadays, but folks, they're wrong. Hell definitely has fire in it. I'll take Jesus' word over everybody else's word every day of the week. You think about, is hell a real place this morning? We see hell is a place that has a literal fire there. There is no doubt about that from what we've seen in Scripture and lots of other places we could look at this morning as well. We didn't even turn to the rich man Lazarus, even though I mentioned it enough times. You think about a literal fire in this place. It's so literal that the Bible gives us such description that the fire is not quenched. That speaks of how literal it is. It's a place there is no water, right? Because the rich man, he just wanted a drop of water from the finger of Lazarus. The fire's not quenched. It's a place where the Bible said here, the worm dieth not, referring to, you look up that worm, and that word worm simply means this, and I hope don't gruesome nobody out this morning, but I'm just telling you what the word worm means that's used there. It means flesh eating. And there's one main worm that comes to my mind when I think about a flesh eating worm. That's maggot. You think about simply, I believe those are there in hell too. You say about the worm that dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell has dominating fire there. It has a literal fire. From what all you and I have read and seen, that's clear. And I asked myself this question. I tried to be unobjective as I could, going through and answering these questions. But I thought about this. If hell, we're seeking to answer the question, is hell a real place? If hell has literal fire there, if hell has literal darkness there, If hell has worms there that die not, if hell is described as a place that is down, if hell is described as dark, if hell is described as where the desperately wicked are located at, if hell is described as getting bigger and bigger and bigger, those things are clear from Scripture. Then what else could hell be but a real place? You see, this morning, the only reason that I believe you could honestly say and argue that hell's not a real place is if somebody wants to be in denial of what the Bible says. Because the Bible is so clear, because if you just look at what the things it says about the word hell, you have to come to one conclusion based off what it says about hell. It's a place. Today, if you went to a pit and you said, well, there's a pit, wouldn't that be a place? They used to have a place in Chimney Rock. I didn't ever get to go see it because they closed it by the time we got there, and I hated that always. They called it the bottomless, I believe it was pools. Bottomless. That's a place, right? Those bottomless pools. In that cave you're in where there's darkness all around that we mentioned earlier. Is that not a place? I'm just simply saying this morning, it's pretty clear when you see what the Bible says about this word hell that it uses, that hell has to be a place. Even as horrible of a place as it is, as a place it is that nobody in this world that understands what the Bible says about it would rightly say, I want to go to that place. There's some that say that, but they don't understand what they're saying. I've had people say that before too. Been songs written about partying in hell and all that mess. They don't understand what this is saying. No party there. I hate to be the party pooper, but there's no party there. You think about simply this morning, is hell a real place? The Bible's clear. Hell is a literal place. There's literal fire there. Many today deny that truth, and then they wind up denying that there's a literal hell. You think about simply this morning, clearly we see hell is down, it's dark, it's a place where the desperately wicked are, it's developing bigger, it's dominated by fire. All these characteristics only lead to one honest conclusion. Hell is a real place. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Just like there's no doubt about heaven being a real place too. That most people don't struggle with, although there's some. Usually it's the fact of hell. Just as real as heaven is just as real as hell is too. This morning, is there a hell? I say yes, there is. Because that's what the Bible says. Many want to not preach that and teach that and share the truth anymore. But folks, no wonder we don't share the gospel anymore like we used to. Because we don't realize the fact that hell, as Brother Holcomb has a song that he sings, hell is hot, hell is real. But, praise the Lord, I don't have to go to hell. Amen. And this morning you don't either. Because Jesus made a way. Amen. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He shed His blood this morning so that you might be saved and escape this awful place of hell that is a place that we talked about this morning, so that instead you might go to heaven if you'll just but come to Him as your Savior. As Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it best, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Amen. What does it say? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This morning, may the Lord help us to always keep this answer in mind. Is hell a real place? Yes, it is. May the Lord help us This morning, if you're not sure you're saved, I encourage you today, don't leave this place not knowing the Lord as your Savior. Amen. Don't reject and run away from the Lord and the message of the good news of the gospel. Amen. And here this morning, if you know the Lord as your Savior, I encourage you, and I encourage myself, to realize this truth and to be encouraged and admonished to share the gospel even more. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, dear Lord, that You created us in such a way that a lot of times we do ask questions, sometimes questions that we should not ask, but we ask questions. And dear Father, a lot of times You can use those things to help us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And dear Father, we clearly see this morning an answer to a question that a lot of times we're posed, and maybe someone in here this morning has been thinking about and pondering over. Dear Father, I pray this morning that You would take these truths about this awful place of hell, and that if one's lost this morning, that You'd help them to be saved before they leave this place. And dear Lord, if there's some of us this morning that know we're saved, dear Lord, on the way to heaven, but we haven't been sharing the message and the truth, Jesus saves, and that You can't escape this place and go to heaven. Help us, dear Father, I pray, through what You've done in our hearts this morning, to get around this altar and pray and ask You to give us a greater burden to see souls saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you